The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Starting a tight end who hasn't caught a pass since October? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
Hump Day is upon us. Welcome to the Wednesday edition. It is December 19th. Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Field Yates, Mike Clay, Stefania Bell, hanging out with you guys for the next hour. What's going on, party people?
Not too much. I'm feeling a little exhausted today, kind of carrying our bowling team on my back yesterday.
Oh, tell me more. Tell me more. That you.
I'll tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened,
Wait,
Field
I can't
Yates.
Hear you, Daniel.
Oh, you can't hear me at all? That's weird. How about now, Stefania? You hear me now?
Yeah.
There
it's
we
funny
go.
How I turn up the volume on my thing. And then
yeah,
I can hear
that works.
You. Okay.
So, Mike Clay. I don't want to say he's been struggling all year, but he's been trying to find his rhythm, you know?
He's the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes,
got
exactly.
It. Okay. And
well, sort of.
And so last week he threw in one of the three games, he threw a 97, right?
Yeah,
he was
bad.
So upset afterwards.
Do you say threw a 97 or
rolled
a 97?
Rolled? I don't know.
It's weird
because
you don't throw the bowling ball. I just
Well, when you bowl a 97, there might be many different deliveries.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Carry on.
So from that standpoint, Mike was so upset with himself that he stayed after to be able to just bowl. He paid for a game after league bowling just to try and figure it out. Threw a 224.
Yeah. What?
In 45 minutes, yeah. He went from a 97 to a 224. So this last
true.
Week, Mike, like, he's got this newfound touch that none of us can believe. He absolutely carried our team.
You guys hired Freddie Kitchens, your offensive coordinator.
That is exactly what happened.
All of a sudden, Mike is really good.
Kyle was there. I fired Hugh Jackson, and then suddenly I was rolling. But,
it's amazing.
But suddenly I've gone from clearly our worst bowler to
maybe our best.
So
bowler.
We'll see long term. But
tell.
It worked last night. We went 4-1.
Wow.
We're back to 500 on the season. So.
As Twitter notes, you have a new nickname. Mike Rolling Thunder Clay. How about that, Michael? You in on it?
Wow.
I'll take it. I got a different nickname on Twitter yesterday. I can't say on the air.
We are a family show. Funny
so
how no
that
one ever invites Stefania and I to bowl. Little do they know that we have a combined average of about 570.
You know, the last time I bowled, I think in the first frame it was like two or three strikes and a turkey.
Oh,
well,
yeah?
that's tough because a frame is just one thing. So
a frame is just the one.
Yeah.
What is the whole a game?
In a first game, yeah, you had a turkey.
Well,
a turkey is good.
I was
that's
my
tough.
Bowling glove and
no,
strap.
Stop it. You've got a glove.
No.
Brought
you
my
not
bag
wear
and a case.
You
right,
do not wear
Fantasy Focus bowling tournament too. Wait, we're playing this like decathlon or
we
whatever in the offseason.
We have to have a combine.
Bowling glove bowling.
No.
That's like me, like, cause I'm that guy, like, you know, me going to the gym and being like, all right, guys, let's put the gloves on the bench and then like hitting like 135 for 8 reps.
Yeah.
People are like, dude, like, you cannot wear gloves if you're only benching 135. Nothing wrong with that.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
By the way, that reminds me, Field, I ran into our good friend Jack Collinsworth this morning at the CAF and he said, you know, Field Yates, right? I said, yeah, I do the podcast with him. And he's like, you know, I've seen him at the hotel. He's always in the gym. He's getting ripped over there.
You know something?
What's up? I said, you're getting married next year. Maybe it was connected.
No, every morning starts the same for me. I mean, every morning you got to work out.
Well, first you make your bed.
Yes.
Am I wrong? Not wrong.
That's not wrong.
Nope, and then you work out.
Yep.
And then you come to work with a smile on your face.
You said you scream really loud. And I didn't say that.
You didn't say that? Okay. Well, it would have been true if you had said that. All right. A lot of news to get to. You know, this is the time of the year when teams are saying, like, listen, a guy does not have a season-ending injury, but the season is almost over, that you might as well put him on IR to prevent further injury and also get somebody else up to the active roster. So we start in Green Bay where Aaron Jones, Stefania, heads to IR.
Yeah. Hashtag business decisions. That's why this is, we should really call this. To me, it starts around week 14. You really start to see it. And here's a case where Aaron Jones, as many who had him on their championship teams are well aware, including our friend Mina Kimes, who swung by today to say one of the reasons she lost in her top league was because Aaron Jones was injured. And he said it felt a lot like the injury he suffered last year that cost him a couple games, which was an MCL sprain. So you know, you're looking at a couple weeks. You know the season's over for Green Bay after week 17. Smart move on their part.
And Jamal Williams steps into a prominent role here. Mike, how high did he climb in your rankings for this week?
Quite a bit. I have him at 18. I wouldn't have any issue putting him a little higher, even in the top 15, if you liked him there. I mean, just look what he did last week. Aaron Jones goes down early. He steps into a feature back role. He was the only tailback they had. Now they add Capri Bibbs, but he shouldn't be a major threat for touches there. But at 16 touches in that game, caught four passes, had 97 yards and a touchdown. And that was against the Bears defense. So you actually look back to last season. We talked about this yesterday. Weeks 11 to 17, he was on the field for 79% of the snaps or more in all of those games. And he was number 8 in fantasy points at running back. So I've seen some pushback on this because people say, well, out of the gate this season, Aaron Jones was suspended. He wasn't a very good fantasy running back, but they were using Ty Montgomery a lot at that point, too. He should have clear-cut feature back duty. So especially if Aaron Rodgers plays, I think it's hard not to rank him as an RB2.
Yeah, and to be clear, we'll talk about more of Aaron Rodgers' news. If we get any sense that Aaron Rodgers might actually sit, there is some suggestions from those that follow the team or cover the team or root for the team that maybe it does make sense to shut Aaron Rodgers down. Speaking of getting shut down, Kerryon Johnson for the Lions, who hasn't practiced in about a month, hasn't played in three straight games, Stefania, now goes to IR.
Right. Sprained left knee is pretty much all the information we got from Detroit. This is one of those where I feel like they knew that he was going to miss multiple weeks. You know how you have guys where you're like, if they can get back, it's more of a day-to-day, and you're going to see them in practice if they can. Oh, he can't quite make it this week, but maybe next week. Whereas it just has felt like Kerryon Johnson, like we weren't going to see him again. Nowhere near the practice facility. Well, I can't say he was in the facility, but nowhere near the practice field. So you never saw him out there doing anything. And now it's a month later, and it really comes as no surprise. And most fantasy players had moved on from him.
So, Mike, in Detroit, or in Green Bay, it's obvious which running back you want to play with Aaron Jones on IR. In Detroit, the answer might be none of them.
Yeah,
none of them.
Yeah, and we saw a little change. So if you were thinking, all right, right back to LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick, not so much. We saw a little change. That Zachary Zenner guy, remember old Zach Zenner? He you know, he had some fantasy relevance at times years ago. He was back on top of the depth chart for Detroit this past week, played 26 snaps, actually ran more routes than Theo Riddick in this game. So he was involved as a pass catcher. He had 10 carries. That was highest on the team. You saw Theo Riddick at 8 carries, 3 targets. And LeGarrette Blount only played 10 snaps. So Blount you could drop. You're definitely not starting him. Riddick and PPR is still a flex option. And Zenner, again, if you're in really rough shape at running back, he is a flex option, maybe a deep league RB2. But you're right. If you can find a way to avoid this situation, you should do that.
Interesting. You even have Zach Zenner that high as a deeper league RB2. I'm a little bit more cautious there. This offense, I have this stat from Kyle. Weeks 1 through 8, if you look at the yards per play, weeks 1 through 8 compared to 9 through 15, which is not exactly an even split, but it's pretty close to it. The team that has seen the greatest percentage change over that time, not surprisingly, the Browns, who have been much better. The team that has seen the greatest percentage change in a negative differential is the Lions, who have dropped from 6.02 yards per play, which is actually a very respectable number, weeks 1 through 8. They're down to 4.5 yards per play. The only other team that's really in that territory, talking about the Cardinals, the Jaguars, the Jets, some of the worst offenses in football, Lions are down over 25%. So I just don't have a lot of confidence in any player in this offense other than one we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show. But if you're desperate, desperate times call for desperate measures.
I do want to say this, Field Yates. Through 14 games, the Detroit Lions have 1,444 rushing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns this year, which is astronomically better than they have been since 1998. 1998 was the last time that they've had that many rushing yards and touchdowns through 14 games. Like, they are very, when you're looking ahead to 2019, like, this team is absolutely dedicated to trying to figure out how to run the football.
Wow, it's crazy to think that that could be the case, that they're all the way up from 1998, and they're still 24th in the NFL.
I know.
So bottom,
it's been real bad.
Rushing offense. It's, you know, they're tough to watch right now offensively. No mystery there. Cam Newton has not been shut down, but the possibility has not been ruled out either. Stefania, I said this yesterday, and I said I want to hear Stefania's take, but watching Cam on Monday night,
tough.
Untrained eye, it's really hard to say, like, yeah, he's fine, he's healthy, because he does not look anything close to it.
He's not. You know, I don't think that it's a secret. And this conversation about whether he gets shut down or not coming from an article in the Associated Press where Ron Rivera said he's going to have a conversation with Cam later in the week and basically figure out where he's at mentally and physically. And I think that's it's an important statement, because with the physical, you know what the limitations are, but now all the defenses know it. And everybody knows that he's got this sore shoulder that's not allowing him to make, I mean, even intermediate throws are difficult at this point. You can see the accuracy is off, the time, they're completely out of sync. And then comes the mental aspect of that takes a toll on you.
Sure.
You've got to see when you're Cam and you can see that you cannot make your body perform on command, that your arm's not functioning the way you want it to. Then he gets frustrated. And we've seen when Cam gets frustrated before what can happen. He's done a lot better in terms of containing that. But I think if anything's going to bring that out, it's the physical struggles. Cam in the same article said he understands that there's no magic surgery, that this is time and rest primarily. This is what he needs to do. And he really needs an off season, is bottom line. And yet for people who are wondering, why isn't there something they can do? Well, you have to look at the context of his entire health picture, multiple years, throwing overhead for years and years, and then having a surgery, a rotator cuff surgery in the past. So his shoulder cannot be 100%. And if you look at particularly field, you know, you talk about the untrained eye. One of the things you take a look at when he goes to throw, his rotation is not there in his shoulder. So you're seeing him, like baseball pitchers, we talk about this, they lose rotation over the season. They can't get back. Watch him. He is not getting full rotation. So you see him start heaving the ball with his body, and that creates a lot more problems. So the risk is you continue with poor mechanics and poor health. And does that set you up for yet another problem? So it's a bigger conversation than just like, yeah, we don't like it, shut you down. But certainly I would not be surprised at this point, because he's operating on throwing one day a week and looking this bad. You can't make it any less than what it is.
This is trivia for you, Mike, because you know rosters, that you have incredible depth of knowledge about the NFL. So you know who the backup is in Carolina?
Taylor Heinicke.
Do you know who the backup to the backup is?
No.
It's a practice squad player.
I do not. Who is
it's Kyle Allen, who finished his college career at Houston. I think he entered as Texas A&M to start. He was like a really regarded, well-regarded prospect back in the day. Finished up at Houston, had some big time, had a lot of production there, but bouncer. I think he went on draft. Anyways, my point is this, that we might get an indication on Cam if a quarterback is either signed or if Allen is promoted from the active roster. But my point in mentioning how obscure those backup quarterbacks are is that if Cam is shut down, this offense is already kind of broken right now. It just further reiterates that the only player, only one you would start with any level of confidence is Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you'd have to downgrade everybody else. I mean, Ian Thomas would fall out of the top 12 for sure. I mean, you look at the wide receivers, you'd be really nervous even about DJ Moore. I mean, he'd be borderline. I mean, maybe in 12 teamers, he's still a flex option, but you're still risking that he gets three targets. You just don't know what the new quarterback's going to do in terms of distribution. So I'm with you. That would be a real tough call. Honestly, if I had Christian McCaffrey, which I do in a couple teams, I'd be a little nervous just about, you know, you're just kind of hoping that they're not stacking the box, that he can run the ball effectively, and that they throw to him too.
Cause yeah, it's again, all about throwing.
Some quarterbacks just will target the perimeter. They just are, or go to the tight end. It's not, and that narrative that, like young quarterbacks just go to the tight end, or rookie quarterback. That's false. Like, that's not true. There's nothing behind that at all. But again, a quarterback to quarterback, the distribution definitely changes drastically.
If I'm being honest, I downgraded when I was doing the rankings. Their receivers were already down for me because Cam can't get the ball to DJ Moore.
Sure,
you know, so it kind of, no matter who's there, I think their pass catchers go way down, and you're just hoping for Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and the good news for McCaffrey is that if you watch that game closely on Monday night when they faced the number one rush defense in New Orleans, like, it's clear that like the best chance of any offensive production is just scheming touches for Christian McCaffrey in the passing game. So, I mean, listen, downgrade him maybe from like, you know, 3 to 5.
Yeah, that's more like DFS, like maybe in the, like, cash games. You just go a little cautious, spend that cash elsewhere in DFS.
Saturday night, can't wait for this game. Maybe my favorite game of the weekend is the Chargers hosting the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Chargers coming off of that Thursday night win. The Ravens coming off of another important win for them to preserve playoff hopes. And Stefania, yesterday we got the practice participation report from the Chargers, and I saw some very good news surrounding Melvin Gordon and less positive news surrounding Keenan Allen. But what's the latest?
Okay, starting with Melvin Gordon, who had came very close to playing last Thursday night. And I believe I said this, here. If not, I said it in social media somewhere, but a source close to the situation told me that he probably could have gone. But when you're looking at the schedule and they had another 9 days and it was critical to have him, you know, they really had to look at his availability for the next two games as well. And you're thinking if he goes out there and he's not quite 100% and then it bothers him, have you cost yourself the future games where he was so close? But if you gave him 9 extra days, what a difference it could make and how much more confidence you have going towards the later part of the season. That all factored into the decision. And that's why it came down so close to game time. And Gordon is a guy, remember when he had injuries at the end of last season, he still wanted to play. This is a guy who wants to be out there. Gordon will play on Saturday. Barring some kind of setback, you're going to see him out there Saturday night. Keenan Allen, hip pointer in the game. You saw a classic hip pointer. You know, it's at the top of your pelvis and you saw him grab it. And I thought right away, he's hitting that area. That's exactly where it's uncomfortable. It can be a 1 week thing. It can be a multiple week thing, depending on the severity of the bruising. I think you've heard the optimism around the team that he has a chance to come back on Saturday, but he's going to have to do more late in the week. And Anthony Lynn said that it could be a game time decision. That also wouldn't surprise me. I know Keenan Allen wants to play. This is one of those where you worry a little bit that if he plays, the way you get this injury is usually a hard fall or contact on it. So if he's still sore and he goes out and makes a big catch and lands on it, could that end up being a short day for him?
I don't want to belabor the analysis too much here, Mike, because it's very early on in the week, relatively speaking, and we'll have more information on this today and tomorrow when they have to issue a game report for that Saturday night game. The good news here, though, is it's a Saturday night game. So if it's Keenan Allen versus somebody else, hey, well, you won't have to decide at the time. It's if Keenan Allen plays or Keenan Allen doesn't play, your backup contingency option, unless you are for some reason starting Corey Davis, is going to be somebody that's playing either on Sunday afternoon or Monday night.
No question. If you have him and he goes, and unless there's some report that he's going to play 15 snaps or something like that, which is rare for a wide receiver, you're going to fire him up. And by the way, if he is out, the best matchup against this Ravens defense is in the slot. Right. You have Jimmy Smith on the outside. Marlon Humphrey has been a tremendous find by them last season on the other side. Inside, they're kind of rotating Brandon Carr and Tavon Young. That's kind of the area where teams will try to exploit. If Allen's out, we saw last week Tyrell Williams moved to the slot, actually, which was 12, kind of surprising.
12 targets.
And he had 12 targets, exactly. So he would be a guy that should be locked in the lineup. So Mike Williams, obviously, has the huge game, kind of a breakout game against the Chiefs. He would be locked in as well.
Yeah, he'd be certainly a talent play, right? You know, regardless of how bad the matchup is, Mike Williams, special player.
Yeah, enough volume.
Enough volume and certainly enough raw ability to make your lineup. Last one here before we get to some rankings, Stefania, is that Todd Gurley is, I don't want to say iffy, but he's not 100% either right now.
It's not 100%. We're seeing the Rams sign C.J. Anderson, and Todd Gurley reportedly dealing with inflammation in his knee. And Coach Sean McVay said, so here's what you know in terms of how they're thinking. Sean McVay said if he gets medical clearance, he will play. So this is strictly a medical decision. Now, this is his surgically repaired knee. Remember, he came into the draft having undergone ACL reconstruction, and he has held up remarkably well. Not only did he come out performing well, he's held up remarkably well. The biggest risk for re-injury, based on a study that was done in the NFL a few years back, is in the first four years coming off that ACL repair for people who enter, you know, coming off of ACL reconstruction, enter the league that way. So Gurley's already, you know, he's doing well. He's year four. And when you get inflammation, you have to respect it. It's normal to get some. You can build up scar tissue, things of that nature over time. But they obviously want to respect it for the global health of his knee. That being said, they also want him out there. So if he progresses enough to the point where they're confident he can go and not put himself at risk, he will play. And that answer, unfortunately, for people who want to know right now, is we just may not have it till much later in the week.
All right. Well, Mike, I think the reality is that if he does play, pretty obvious, maybe the most stating the obvious thing I've said all year is you are going to play him. But I think people are wondering this, Mike, is let's say he doesn't play, and we're not forecasting that, but just hypothetically, like, can you really play any Rams running back confidently?
I wouldn't want to. Maybe Lindsay Theory will have something for us that covers the Rams, does a great job. Maybe she would have some information as to, you know, John Kelly's going to start and get 15 touches. He's going to be the guy. Then you can feel like, okay, this is the Rams offense. They're at home. Yeah, right. I'm going to fire him up. But If not, it's tough because you have Justin Davis. And I know we saw some Kelly last week, but Davis was beat up too. So that's why he wasn't on the field. And they also just signed CJ Anderson. He could potentially be active. So there's a lot going on there. I would be, especially with a championship on the line, I would be a little nervous starting any of those guys.
Yeah, looking elsewhere, good reminder that, like, even if it isn't, you know, obvious that you're going to need a running back for waiver wire pickups, like, just grab players. Grab Jamal Williams if he's available in your league, or if he was available in your league for the potential to utilize him. Even if you already had, let's say, Gurley and whatever. Maybe you had Gurley and Philip Lindsay with a great early season waiver claim. And like, yeah, if those two play, you're going to play them and probably not play Jamal Williams. But insurance is a good thing to have. Now let's get to our rankings conversations, because each week we go through these rankings and we have some points we're a little bit divergent. Players one of us has more confidence in versus less. The Cowboys are at home this week and they play against Jameis Winston. Both quarterbacks are topical in that regard. Jameis Winston on the road in Dallas. I have him 11th. Mike, you have him at 14th. Stefania, you have him at 16th. Let's begin with why, Stefania, you might be not confident, but the least confident out of all of us.
Well, I've made my negative case on Jameis Winston before. I just think he's prone to make mistakes. I do think he can put up the big yardage, certainly. It was nice to see that Mike Evans was rediscovered, because I think that's a strong outlet for him. But I think the Dallas defense is better. Like, last week was a bit of an aberration, but I think Dallas's defense will frustrate him. And I think he has ability to make mistakes. And there were just other people whose matchups I liked better.
Mike, any reason to disagree with what Stefania just said?
Not aggressively. I mean, I'm kind of in the middle here. I think there's some pluses and minuses. First of all, he had a dud last week at Baltimore. I think we all kind of expected that, right? Yeah. It was a really tough matchup going in there. Weather was terrible too. But consider coming into that, his previous three, he was top 11 at the position. And the Buccaneers offense, we've talked about this time and time again, it's just built for success, where their offensive skill players are fourth in play, second in pass rate, eighth in touchdowns, fifth in the percentage of their touchdowns that are passes. That's all good news for Winston. But as Stefania pointed out, they're playing the Cowboys defense, eighth toughest against quarterbacks this season. The best finish they have allowed this season to a quarterback is seventh. So kind of think about that. You kind of have a cap ceiling here with Jameis Winston as well. Comes in at 14 for me. I like him most weeks. A little different than you on that, in that regard, Stefania, but I don't like the matchup here.
Yeah, I think the reason why you would advocate for playing Jameis Winston, and none of us have him as a surefire starter in a 10-team league, is that he's got multiple touchdown passes in four of his past five games. He has just two picks in his past four games on 131 attempts, which is very unlike him. And, you know, Jameis Winston is as prone to a weird and wacky 400-yard performance as probably anybody in the NFL. He's got great pass catchers, so it really comes down to how confident
he is. I'm not buying it on the road at Dallas. So.
Yeah, Dallas has been much, much better at home defensively. They've also been much better at home offensively, so no surprise that Mike has great confidence in Dak Prescott this week. I've got him at 17. Mike, you're at 6, so we have a massive difference here. Dak Prescott. Stefania checks in at 13. What I keep coming back to on Dak is this. Is that there have been other moments, and I'll let you make your case in just a moment here, but there have been other opportunities for Dak to expose what was on paper an excellent, excellent matchup. I think about that game against the Atlanta Falcons. Well, he had zero passing touchdowns and 208 yards. Against Philly the week before that, he did have a rushing touchdown, but, you know, 270 passing yards. Like, he's had this juicy, savory lineup of matchups, and he hasn't quite capitalized. And they're coming off of a clunker game against Indianapolis, but you have tremendous confidence because Dak is playing at home, and because of that Bucs defense.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. I mean, he's been back and forth. Like, he has a good week, then a bad week. Good week, bad week. That's what we've seen. Actually, if you just believe in that alone, you're buying
you
in because he's coming top of bad
week. It's our chance.
Nonetheless, QB 8 or better in 5 of his past 9 outings. The Cowboys at home have been tremendous. 6-1, they're averaging 1.9 passing touchdowns per game at home, only 0.6 per game on the road. So that's good news. Obviously, Dak having more passing success in the friendly confines there in Dallas. And as for the Buccaneers defense, I mean, they're allowing 3.4 touchdowns per game. That is worst in the league, but on the road, 4.4 touchdowns per game. These are the point totals they've allowed on the road this season. 40, 48, 34, 37, 42, 38, 20. It's hard to be that bad. And they have been destroyed
almost
on the road.
Almost like firing Mike Smith did nothing.
So it's been problematic, obviously. Fourth most fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. And also I picked this up too, kind of dud proof. Only one quarterback has finished a week worse than QB 22 against him. That's fewest among all defenses. So if you start Dak, you're also, you know, you're not going to get like 3 points or five, or 7 points. You're very likely to get double digits. And he has a high ceiling too against his team.
You know what's weird though is I remember talking at the start of the year about the threat that he was with his legs. And it seemed like when the season started, we got a lot of that. Now, maybe it's because he had no legitimate receiver to throw to and he was scrambling quite a bit. But the rushing has not been there. I mean, he's gotten a couple touchdowns, but they're not because he's scrambling a ton. It's been situational. But his rushing yards are, last week he had none. 1 for 4 the week before, 1 for 5 the week before, or 5 for 22 the week before that. It's not, he hasn't contributed much there. So if he's not throwing touchdowns, you're not getting a ton out of him.
Yeah, he's just, you know, I think when I watch Dak, and of course the Cowboys, we have a chance to watch every game because of our setup here at ESPN. But obviously mm-hmm. the Cowboys are on prominent games you know, frequently. They're a massive ratings draw, that much is for sure. It's just like, you know, you start to trust Dak as a thrower, and then he just does something very Dak-like, and you're like, that's why I'm not quite all the way there yet with Dak Prescott as a quarterback. Deshaun Watson is an interesting one. He plays the Eagles, and on paper you're thinking to yourself, great matchup, right? The Eagles can't cover anybody. But all of a sudden they have some life here. I've got him at 8, Mike's got him at 12, Stefania's got him at 9, so not a huge, massive range, but Mike, are you buying into what happened last week from the Eagles? Is something that will stick going forward?
To some extent. They seem like they're kind of in that playoff mode now. They have the full face masks now.
Yeah,
like
the ski masks,
the
right.
The ski masks instead of the dog masks now. So they're kind of trying to make that run to the Super Bowl again. Hopefully it'll pan out. But nonetheless, looking at this matchup specifically, going into the road, into the link, it's obviously hostile territory. I've been there a time or two. You know, screaming, you know,
just
not obscenities,
right, yeah.
Just
sure,
nice
yeah.
things about the Eagles from the upper, the 700 level, of course. But nonetheless, it's a relatively tough matchup against a defense playing better. But what I noticed looking at this matchup is it's kind of boom bust central here, right? You have Deshaun Watson, who's 3 top 2 fantasy weeks, but 4 finishes outside the top 20. And then you have the Eagles defense, boom bust against quarterbacks. 3 of the past 4 have finished 20 or worse against the Eagles. This season in terms of fantasy points. At times they've given up a lot of points. As of late, they've really shut them down. And as of Deshaun Watson specifically, I mean, we've been on him a lot this season, for the fact that he's not throwing a lot of touchdowns. He has 1 passing touchdown in 7 games, 2 in 6 games, and he hit 5 that one time. So he's just not getting you a lot through the air. It's a run first Houston offense. They're 20th in touchdowns. And by the way, the Eagles at home this season, they've allowed 6 passing touchdowns in 7 home games. So that's pretty good as well.
But he can make the big play. And those big plays can get you a lot of points. And he's making fewer mistakes. No interceptions since week 11. I'm a big fan of that. 4 straight games with more than 25 rushing yards. Only Lamar Jackson has a longer active streak. So if he can just avoid, I think, how many sacks did he take last week? Like 5 or 6? Like
well,
a lot.
Well, I know
like,
this much is that no team has allowed more sacks this season than the Texans,
right.
52. So there is a vulnerability
that's
up front.
That's the part that I worry about with him. But I also think it'll be interesting because we don't know what's going to be Lamar Miller's status. And so I don't know whether, you know, he ended up rushing more when Lamar Miller got hurt. So obviously they would know going into this game whether they're going to have Miller, whether it'll be primarily Alfred Blue. But I think with the secondary of Philadelphia still depleted, you know, he has a chance to have a strong game.
6 times was Deshaun Watson sacked last week by the Jets.
I knew it was a lot, but I wonder how many games he's got, like, he's been sacked at least 4 times. Like,
what,
a lot.
Weirdly, maybe it was because the game was played on Saturday and the injury was a little bit off the radar. And I understand that the number of people still adding players is down. But amongst the 25 most added running backs on waivers this week, as in like Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, Alfred Blue wasn't one of them.
Yeah, I think people are forgetting that Lamar Miller, like, he may not play.
Meanwhile,
he left the game.
Like, you're seeing other players that are like, you know, Jalen Samuels got added in 2.5% of leagues. He's a backup running back now.
Yeah.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
Justin Jackson is a third string running back now, and he got added in 3.7% of leagues. Alfred Blue,
PSA people.
So
Alfred Blue might start. You might want to pick again.
Sometimes we get feedback and people say like, you guys always reference these leagues and like, you know, our league, Alfred Blue was added back in week 4. Okay, that's fine. I'm glad. I hope you play in a very competitive league. But I'm looking at the numbers. And there's sort of a straw poll of every league on ESPN.com.
Active leagues too.
And what they tell me, this is not inactive leagues where it's, you know, a bunch of, you know, gadgets that are, you know, robots that are, you know, pressing buttons. You're like, these are leagues that are still active and Alfred Blue is still very much available for the taking.
Go and get him.
Take a quick break and come right back and talk about, have the Jaguars given up?
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy.
now, a quick note from the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week.
This is Zach Kine, ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week. After living in Vegas for a few years and trying to get you to come out and do a live podcast there, ZipRecruiter helped me find a new job in my home state of Utah. So now you need to come out here and we can go and hit the slopes, try out the greatest snow on earth. Now back to you.
Good stuff there. For those who haven't skied Utah, go do it.
Like, when are we going?
I'm in.
To Utah or Vegas?
Well, you know. Both.
A tour. A big van.
I'm married into
it's
a Vail
beautiful,
family.
You can't go wrong. Like, beautiful. You know, their national parks are gorgeous.
Cannot go wrong with the great state of Utah.
Thank you.
Phil, just really quickly want to say that we have a survey that we're going to be sending out on social media. Every single one of us is going to send out a tweet really quickly, just recapping some of the stuff that we've done this year. We just want to know if you like the podcast, how we can improve it, how we can make it better. So do me a favor, spend 90 seconds. We're going to send it out at Daniel Dopp, at Field Yates, at Mike Clay NFL, at Stefania underscore ESPN, and at Matthew Berry TMR. Just find one of ours, do the survey. It means the world to us. It really will help to make the show better.
And when you said swerve to begin, that wasn't a
no swerve.
Slip of the tongue.
No swerve is what it's
an
called.
Online survey,
yes,
by this company. So it would, yeah, it would mean a lot.
Please,
listen,
yeah.
I'll quickly just say this: like this podcast is something we love. In some ways, it can be a labor of love, right? I mean, this is our 105th show this year. Today is 105 out of 110 during the regular season. Like, we have been here for a long time, and we really appreciate the feedback, because the only reason why this show goes 110 times a year during the season is because people listen to it and seem to do it authentically and genuinely. And we would joke about downloading and not listening, but your support and feedback means a ton to us. Running back ranks. It gets kind of confusing here with Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette's an awesome player. Really talented. Really, really talented. But this Jaguars team's a disaster right now. I've got him at 12. Mike's got him at 13. And Stefania's got him at 18. Stefania, he's also now, like, dealing with feels like too strong of a classification. But there's, like, you know, in some part of the Leonard Fournette ecosphere, there's a foot issue. Is it an issue? Is it a excuse? Wait, like, what's going on here?
It's a good question, and I think it probably could be both. You know, Doug Marrone said this week that Fournette is dealing with a foot injury. We know he's had the foot issues in the past. We know that he's missed time before because of it. And then you had them saying after the game that it was a game plan, but Leonard Fournette said it as well, that it was a game plan for him to not get all the work. They wanted to get Dave Williams in there. So you're like, well, which is it an injury situation, or is it that they wanted to see someone? You know, when you get the feeling that all is not right in the state of the Jaguars, I feel like all is not right.
Where are you going with this, Stefania?
Yeah.
Because I have an idea.
Yeah. And it just, it feels like, you know, one says he's hurt. We've seen this before when there's some kind of inner strife and the player may actually legitimately have an injury, but then there's like the injury becomes a bigger deal than what the injury maybe really is. So it was enough. Let's put it this way. The bottom line is, for fantasy purposes, I'm now nervous. If I'm going to championship week, what can I count on? Is he really hurt? We're going to get a practice report after today, so we'll see if he comes out as limited. But is he really hurt? Are they frustrated with him because he's dealing with this injury or whatever it is, and they're not going to play him as much? Either way, I have a hard time counting on him. I mean, how confident would you guys be putting him in your lineup going into a championship week as your RB1?
Well, we start here. We have him at 12 and 13, which is, you know, when he's full go, you're thinking to yourself, like, you know, set it and forget it with Leonard Fournette. Mike, this is what makes it difficult, though, to do these rankings in fantasy at this time of the year. Everything Stefania said is well taken. We could also get to Sunday, and they could run him 27 times for 175 yards and a touchdown.
And it could be because there's tension in this, and they're like, get out there.
Or we can see what we saw last week, which was carries for other running backs and Leonard Fournette being ineffective. So it's the matchup, I would say, is fine. Like, it's Miami. It's not something that scares you. It's not someone that you're just going to walk right over. This is tough. This is a tough one.
Yep.
Yeah, Dolphins defense, too, that just got smoked in Minnesota by Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray, ran all over them. So, no question. And listen, in the offseason, we talked about Fournette's suspect efficiency as a rookie, 3.88 yards per carry, underwhelming after contact. It was a bit of a red flag. And then this season, it's been worse, 3.44 yards per carry, still similar, but poor after contact. The efficiency has not been there. Yes, he faces a lot of stack boxes, but he has not improved in that area. And, I mean, you talked about it. The snaps were not high enough last week, only 26. But I will say this, still had 64 scrimmage yards. You know, the volume is really what's king in fantasy football. You get 64 scrimmage yards, maybe find your way into the end zone, catch three or four footballs. That's a pretty darn good fantasy day, enough to at least give you running back two numbers. So, and by the way, before all this recent drama, before the suspension, he had ripped off three straight top seven fantasy right. weeks. So he was delivering.
He was awesome.
At one point.
But that's when every, you know, and all, but look at where it was. It was the start of the season. Everything's sunshine and roses. Everything's going to be a good season until he gets hurt. Then there's a problem, you know, and he misses extensive time and it feels like it just sort of dissolved.
This team needs something. I don't know exactly what that something is, but they need something. They need a reality check is what they probably need to begin with. Eli McGuire for the Jets, another popular waiver ad, faces the Green Bay Packers, who through weeks 1 through 7, they were top 10 in terms of run defense to opposing running backs. Since then, they're a bottom 10 run defense. I should probably be higher on this guy. Mike has him at 21, Stefania at 20. I'm a little bit lower, and I'll adjust that accordingly because he's been getting tons of work right now, Mike.
Yeah, no question about it. That last game we saw against Houston, that Saturday night game, was on the field for 53 of the 72 snaps, had 21 touches in the game, bailed you out with a touchdown if you started in fantasy, which I did in desperation in a couple leagues. But got 71 yards and a touchdown because of that heavy volume. And I think I've said it a few times in the show. Volume is king in fantasy football. He's been getting it. Only 3.3 yards per carry this season, but he's actually a little above average after contact. So that's good. He could catch the football. His running backs coach compared him to LaDainian Tomlinson in the offseason. They like him a lot. And by the way, let's really, really quickly on this matchup. The Packers about average against running backs this season, but 5 of the past 8 units they faced to finish top 11 in fantasy points. The Packers 0-7 on the road. They're two different teams. On the road, the Packers 0-7. They've allowed 24 points or more in all 7 games. That's a good sign for this Jets offense, and McGuire will be a big part of it.
And not to mention, he missed the first half of the season because of the foot injury, and it would be normal to expect him to get stronger with it as he comes back, and so I think you've seen that. Then Isaiah Crowell goes out on injured reserve, but that just happened, so this to me is like the first full week that he's going to have going in knowing he's the starter. This is the game plan. You said it when we were talking about the last player in the Leonard Fournette situation. Volume is king. And we know that Eli McGuire is going to be the one who handles the carries primarily for the Jets.
Well, we don't know this part, though. Who's going to handle the carries for the Dolphins? Because after Frank Gore got hurt last week, Kenyon Drake, you think, oh, yeah, like Kenyon Drake's going to play a lot. Like, at least have some carries. He had one carry. Like, I would have got it if Kalen Ballage had 12 and Kenyon Drake had 5. And I understand they were getting their tails kicked, so they were playing from behind, had to throw it and not run it. But one carry, there is an aversion to handing the football off to Kenyon Drake. I've got him down my ranks, 36. Mike, you have him at 29. Stefania, you have him at 24. Meanwhile, the highest Ballage ranks for any of us is 31. There's sort of the unknown quantity there, right? Mike, I know you had a chance to communicate with Cameron Wolf, who covers the Dolphins for us here at ESPN. What did you learn from that conversation?
Yeah, his first observation was that he has a shoulder and ankle injury, does Kenyon Drake. So that's factor one, I suppose. Factor two is what we kind of all know. Adam Gase does not trust Kenyon Drake to be that feature back. We've seen it time and time again. He just hasn't had his role expanded this season. Despite late last season, when Damian Williams got hurt, he was tremendous in that role. So it's kind of bizarre, but he said he doesn't trust him in that role. He thinks he'll continue to play a similar role to the one he has all season and thinks it'll be kind of 50-50 in snaps with Ballage filling in for Gore, getting the snaps, and Drake still being the passing down specialist there.
I'm okay with it being 50-50 snaps because that's basically what it's been. But last week it was so skewed. And Adam Gase said afterward that it wasn't anything to do with his injuries, which is why he didn't touch the ball. Like, I understand Cam's point because Kenyon Drake's been dealing with a shoulder injury that actually got aggravated a couple of weeks ago. And I think in that game we saw him come in and out. But last week with that one carry for 6 yards, that was an aberration, at least before 6 carries, 7 carries, 8 carries to go with the passing touches that he got. At least that felt like a more balanced role, even though Frank Gore was continuing to, you know, split the work with him. So I don't understand last week. I guess I ranked him higher because I feel like it's got to come up from that. It's not going to be that same situation.
I just, you know, I have a hard time figuring out the usage for the Miami Dolphins with Kenyon Drake. It doesn't make that much sense to me. You know, the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. And you know what's not smart? handed the football off to Kenyon Drake one time when you lose Frank Gore in the game earlier because of an ankle or a foot injury, whatever it was. But I'm off the rails. But you know what is smart? Or what else isn't smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. That's smart. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and then actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast, like kick returner breaking for daylight fast. No wonder ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. That's based on hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Fill your business roster with the right talent today by visiting ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's right. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. It's free. Moving along here with our wide receiver rankings, we begin with the only Lions player that, as I teased earlier on in the show, you feel good about potentially playing in your championship. Kenny Galladay, number 19 in my ranks, 23 in Mike's ranks, 27 in Stefania's ranks. However, there's a note. Minnesota, very good at defending opposing wide receivers. That being said, Mike, we may have seen something usage-wise last week from Detroit that's encouraging for Kenny Galladay's outlook.
Yeah, and this might be dependent on Bruce Ellington's status for this week, but he was out last week, so we saw Kenny Galladay moved into the slot more often about half the time. So that was good. About half of his production in that game did come against White, but the other half came in the slot, which is smart. I don't know why more top wide receivers aren't aligning inside and running routes against linebackers. It seems like a no-brainer, but nonetheless, you're seeing that more and more in the NFL. Nonetheless, Galladay, the volume's been there, 8-plus targets, 5 of his past 6 games, averaging 9.3 per game, and is fantasy's number 11 scoring receiver during that stretch as well, even with that dud against Pat Peterson a couple weeks ago. But this week, when he is on the perimeter, which, I mean, if you're being conservative, will probably be 60-65% of the time at least, he's going to see Xavier Rhodes in shadow coverage. The Vikings allowing the second fewest fantasy points to receivers this season. They were lit up by the Rams and Devontae Adams, but no other receiver exceeded 15 fantasy points against them this season, which is incredible. I mean, just those two games. Otherwise, no more than 15 in a single game. So something to consider there. The Vikings also have not allowed more than one passing touchdown in a game since week 5. 5 passing touchdowns allowed in 9 games during that span. So good luck if you have Kenny Galladay if you're expecting a touchdown. It just hasn't happened against Minnesota.
By the way, this is not exactly the point of this conversation, but I think the reason why teams rely on top receivers on the outside more is a couple of things. First of all, it's your best shot at isolated coverage, and you have confidence that, like, even when you're facing the best of the best, whether it's, you know, Patrick Peterson or any other top cornerback this year. I know the Pro Bowls were announced last night, so 8 players, including, I think, Xavier Rhodes, Denzel Ward, Stephon Gilmore, Casey Hayward make it? He might have.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Anyways. Very
they
good
had 7, so
plays.
Probably.
Yeah. Any event, best opportunity for isolated coverage, which coaches are confident in. Best, most expand. You can manipulate your route tree a little bit more. Less congestion in the middle of the field, or compared to in the middle of the field. And big play opportunities, too. Like, I think they feel as though, like, hey, if you're throwing into a zone, it's like, yeah, you might be open. But you're open, and then it's like you're falling down within 6 yards or 5 yards of where you catch the football. Not necessarily fantasy relevant, but you are willing to play Kenny Galladay, but there's a bit of trepidation because his pass-catching matchup is very difficult. Now, a player that you're not so interested in, Mike, at least according to your rankings, is Robert Foster. Robert Foster is 48 for you. I've got him at 31, and Stefania has him at 32 because she's a brilliant mind. We've always talked about that in the podcast. But with Robert Foster, I'll just make my own case here, is that...
And I'll ditto it, we came in about the same spot.
He has been red hot of late, right? Part of this is just like... Rather than continuing to, to tell you why it can't work, allow him to, perpetually defy what the numbers might suggest. And also keeping in mind that, like, once you get to a certain point of our rankings, right, we're moving off of players that you feel really confident in and players that it's like the range of outcomes is so wide. And so if the range of outcomes for example, the next player we talk about, Curtis Samuel, is, like, I think the upside for Robert Foster surpasses the upside of most of the players ranked at 30 or below because we've seen it now. It just takes a couple of quick strike opportunities for him to go
right,
maybe literally like 3 for 105 with a touchdown. So that's why I have him that high. I understand there's a lot of reasons to be cautious.
Yeah, definitely. I think the way I look at him, it's almost, as you were talking, I'm thinking through, it's kind of like a poor man's Tyler Lockett, right? Because, and with a worse quarterback, too. Maybe that's why he's a poor man's Tyler Lockett.
You say worse quarterback, but he's been red hot, too.
The guy completing half his passes. I'm sorry. I'm not really buying into the Josh Allen experience as a passer. Anyway, but nonetheless, yeah, I mean, he's been hot as of late. There are plenty of reasons to think he's going to crash to earth. And with championships on the line, do you want a guy in there who could catch 2 for 10, you know, 2 for 20 maybe? I mean, that's a concern. I mean, he's cleared 5 targets in a game once in his career. He's been over 4 targets only twice in his career. It's a run heavy offense. It's a low scoring offense and that gets most of the yardage from Josh Allen's legs, by the way. And one more thing really quick. And I'm sure you could touch on this as well, with your knowledge of the Patriots, but JC Jackson looks like a find for the Patriots. He shadowed Juju Smith-Schuster in that game last week. Smith-Schuster, 10 targets, 4 catches, 40 yards. Yeah. And no touchdowns. I mean, he did a great job, and he's likely going to be on Foster most of this game.
I would think so, too. What J.C. Jackson does well is he's long and fast, vertical type. We talk about receivers being vertical. Right. Vertical type cornerback, if that makes sense. Maybe Zay Jones, for the second straight week, will draw shadow coverage. He actually got shadow covered this past week, did Zay Jones.
Yes, he did.
And that's part of Darius Slay, right?
Yeah, and then, of course, Foster had a great matchup against Mike Ford that they exploited. So, right. By the way, Jackson undrafted, but that was off-field related. Off-field he could have been an early round pick for sure.
Sure, had a sort of a weird path through college. Started at Florida, finished at Maryland. But anyway, Robert Foster also, part of the logic is like not everybody is going into the finals with a decided advantage or even, you know, the likelihood of winning. It could be more of like, hey, I don't deserve to be here. Like, you know, I snuck by over a better team this past week because they started, you know, OBJ or they had OBJ and they started Keenan Allen and they had Adam Thielen in there and I just got lucky. So this might be one of those plays where it's like, I need the home runs.
Right. You have a whole swing for the fences thing, you know?
Couple more here. And, you know, these are the players that I have a harder time sort of sizing up is Curtis Samuel. Like, he's at 27 for Mike, 45 for me, 35 for Stefania. And I think part of what you have to bake in is what we talked about with Cam earlier. Right. Is like, if we're uncertain about Cam, then it's hard to be certain about somebody else in this office. That's really, I'll keep it very simple there for me. I am accounting for the possibility that even if Cam is out there, he is still a, broken's too strong of a word, but a lesser than normal Cam. And if he's not out there, bye-bye.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're not playing Curtis Samuel if it's Taylor Heineke out there.
No, right? No, I would not. I will say this. I mean, Cam didn't just get hurt this week. This has been going on for a few weeks. And Samuel has finished top 34 in 4 straight games prior to that Monday Night Football debacle in 5 of his previous 6. So there's been success there even while Cam was, you know, playing injured. Reportedly. So, Samuel did miss the first game with Atlanta, but, though the Falcons have been a little better against receivers lately, they've allowed 8 wide receiver units to finish top 10 this year. That's most in the NFL. They're allowing 28 points per game on the road. So the matchup is pretty good for him, but you're right. If Cam's not there, a lot of concern.
And I know he's been playing banged up, but to me, he's looked worse each of the last 2 games.
I agree. So, Cam looks like
the trajectory is going in the wrong direction and things that I think he could muscle through a few weeks ago, and I think this is part of why they have to have the conversation. Things he could force and he could still get away with, they're not happening now.
This is the largest discrepancy we've ever had in a ranking in our conversations. I have Corey Davis at 23, Mike Emmons has him at 28, Stefania has him at 24.
Yeah.
But here's the rub. Daniel has him at 1,432,780th this week in your wide receiver rankings.
Among available wide receivers.
Is he ahead or behind Calvin Johnson?
He is behind Calvin Johnson.
Okay.
What about Max
Herman
McGee?
Herman Moore, he is behind Herman Moore.
Max McGee?
He is ahead of Max McGee.
He's ahead of Max McGee. He caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Anybody else notably that he's ahead of?
Not specifically.
Okay.
I will just say this. Corey Davis has had 3 games this year where he scored more than 20 fantasy points. He's had 7 games in which he's had a single digit output. Like, yeah. There is no confidence in me in a championship week, and I would rather take a flyer on 2 guys, and I know this is crazy, 2 guys that have been hot the last 2 weeks in either Robbie Anderson or Robert Foster than throwing out Corey Davis because you just have no idea what you're going to get with that guy.
Daniel.
Fair.
Listen, I think, I mean, one thing I always appreciate about your perspective, Daniel, and not that you don't have a lot of the insight, the analysis that we use on the podcast, is you do a great job of speaking, I think, from, I don't want to say just like speaking the fan voice, but people that are not spending hours toiling over data and projections and matchups, but just like seeing what's happening week to week, and then reacting to them as such, right? Like, no, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, oh, heart. Yeah. Speaking from the heart.
The notes say
but
heart.
No, I appreciate that, right? Like, that is like a, you are asking the question that I think a lot of people are asking. So I understand it. I think, again, I go back to the target share for Corey Davis. That being said, and like, not a terrible matchup, I don't think, this week.
No, I would say it is. He's going to draw the Josh Norman shadow.
You think he'll draw? Okay.
Yeah, Norman's been shadowing quite a bit. Now, Davis has been actually a little better as of late. Wide receiver 26 or better, 4 of his past 7. But as we've talked about almost every week, whenever he is a very tough shadow situation, he has struggled this season. And the Titans offense, he's just not in a situation for big upside, to be honest. I mean, they have 0 passing touchdowns their past 2 games. The Redskins allowed 0 passing touchdowns last week. It was Cody Kessler, but nonetheless. And Tennessee has not exceeded 2 passing touchdowns in a single game this season. By the way, you mentioned his target share. It's trending the wrong way. 8.4 per game from weeks 1 to 10. 4.8 per game the past 5.
Because Derrick Henry's too busy scoring touchdowns to throw the football.
That's exactly it. They're leaning on the run right now. It's just not a good situation for
Davis. They sure are. If you haven't seen it, there was a great segment last night, or it was voiced by SVP. I just assume it ran on his show, that laid out all of the different playoff scenarios that could take place. There's something like 16,000 different scenarios in the AFC still available.
Are you serious?
And part of it was the focus was on the Titans. And like, I think the Titans actually are in a pretty favorable spot if they win their final 2 games.
Yes,
whereas other teams could be shut out with 2 straight wins.
Right.
But like, there are 8 teams that are still alive for a top 2 seed in the AFC. Not even like a playoff spot, like a top two seed.
Yeah, the game of the week in week 17, probably going to be Titans Colts.
And
that's probably
going
to be a playing game.
Although last year the NFL ditched the flex. Remember that? Last year the NFL said no 8:30 game. That would be a fun game if the Colts and the Titans
probably
were playing
a playoff game, essentially. Yeah.
Potentially a playoff game in week 17. Time for one of our favorite segments of the week. He's a brainiac.
He's my clay. Beep, 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 beep.
Wow.
No,
Tariqa found
one
a way
day.
To get double dropped.
I know, somehow.
It's just more fun that way, you know? It's like analog, authentic. It's organic, you know?
It's a reminder of our humble beginnings. Right?
Exactly.
No, authentic would actually be the authentic sound.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, if you want to feel home cooked.
Sure, you listen to your MP3s on your Zune, Stefania, all right? I'll just listen to my vinyl records. No big deal.
All right, we go now to Tom Brady, Mr. Pro Bowl for the 14th time, actually. Tom Brady now tied with, I think, Peyton and a couple others for the most ever. Yeah.
Is he going to go?
I just find it interesting that he's, I mean, he has not, I guess, real football.
So Andrew
but it
Luck,
has not been his Andrew best Luck, season.
Andrew Luck probably had a compelling case to be in there as well. You could make the case for Andrew Luck, but Brady, you know, remember, it's a statistically driven award. Tom Brady's got more passing yards. I believe fewer interceptions than Andrew Luck. Like, I have no problem with it. I would have had no problem with Andrew Luck being in there, but I don't get too fired up about Pro Bowl selection.
Yeah, no.
Darius Leonard didn't make it. Like,
but
on,
I honestly have not looked at the list yet. Yeah. You know, I'm not on top of it. So when you said it, I was like, I'm just thinking of Brady's season relative to Brady expectations.
I know,
and I'm like,
well, as Mike has pointed out, that like really with Brady, it's not so much that he's fallen off, it's that the rest of the league has risen.
Right.
Although that might, by the end of the year, it might be that things are kind of close
to
where they
shake
are
because
things,
right.
You know, offense has slowed down so much. Tom Brady hosting the Buffalo Bills, the Patriots are. You've at 16.4 points, Mike, which would be right around where he's been in 5 of his past 7 games, he's under 16 points. So maybe this is a rosy outlook for you.
No, I wouldn't say that. QB 18 is where he falls. I would not say that by any means. Had the QB 1 overall finish in week 14, otherwise QB 14 or worse every other week since week 7. So he has been killing you. If you have been starting him in fantasy, he's managed a top 10 week in 29% of his starts. That ranks 22nd. In fact, Marcus Mariota, believe it or not, has more top 10 fantasy weeks than Tom Brady this season. The Bills, by the way, a very tough matchup. Fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. The last time they allowed a top 15 fantasy quarterback week was week 7, and they've only allowed two top 10s this season. So it hasn't been great in fantasy. Matchup is brutal.
I'm excited about the future of the Bills. I'm really impressed with the operation they have going on right now. Draft, develop, and they made a couple of curious free agent decisions, I think, this past offseason. A lot of money for Star Latulele, for example. Mm-hmm. But this team's doing something. Like, I think they're doing it the right
way. There's a reason to be excited going into next year.
I like Sean McDermott. I'm a fan of Brandon Bean as well.
I was going to say, I'm infamously hard on them the past 2 years, but I'm with you. I'm still suspect of the quarterback, but they're getting
the quarterback
there. And I love McDermott.
Out, then everything changes.
They're going the right direction, I think.
Give him a chance, Mike Clay.
I love McDermott.
He's young.
Yeah, don't be a yater. Philip Lindsay became the first ever offensive player to go undrafted and then be named a Pro Bowler as a rookie. Mike, you've got him at 17 points against the Raiders on Monday night. Just because of that history he made, that should be at like, you know, 27 points.
No question. Why don't you just change the projections?
All right, done.
Hop in there, change them up.
Sure.
It'll be cute. RB1
this week. They're playing Oakland, Mike.
Sure. All right, well, first of all, Oakland's kind of neutral against running backs. Actually, I didn't take any notes on the Oakland defense because there's not much there in terms of the matchup. You don't want to move the needle too much for that. Philip Lindsay, RB15 or worse, 3 of his past 4. So he's actually trending the wrong way. He finished 35th last week. That was actually his worst since week 3, so he has shown a pretty high floor. Yards per carry, hey, you know, you guys gave me a hard time a few weeks ago for saying it was going to start to fall pretty drastically. It has. Big time the past couple of weeks. He's made up for it a little bit. He has 13 targets over his past 2 games. That's huge.
Yeah.
If he keeps that passing down work, that is very big for his long-term value. 6th worst yards after contact among 42 backs with 100-plus carries this season. 2nd worst among 23 with 150 carries. Still very worried about Lindsay's long-term outlook, especially the way he's trended the past couple of weeks. He needs a lot of help to get running lanes. But again, if he gets the carries, he gets the volume, he gets the targets, he'll be okay in fantasy.
He's been an unbelievable story. Yeah. But congratulations to him on the Pro Bowl nod, and we'll see if he lives up to Mike's projections on Monday night. Derrick Henry, he has just 15.7 points in your latest projection, Mike. I mean, people are probably sitting there saying, did you mean 15.7 touchdowns or fantasy points?
Yeah, that's in the first quarter, right?
Right,
obviously.
Exactly.
That's a high projection. It's RB13, so I do like him. Obviously, tremendous production as of late on the ground. You know, what, 400 rushing yards his past 2 games, 6 touchdowns, but only 1 catch during the span. You have to consider that when you're evaluating him in PPR, 11 touchdowns over his past 8 games. But again, only 9 catches during that span. The key, really, last week was a change in usage. 47 snaps played, Deion Lewis at 22. He's clearly taking control as the lead back. That is huge. But they're playing Washington. Only 2 running back units have posted top 10 fantasy weeks against him this season. That is 2nd best. So it is the toughest matchup he's had. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say that because Jacksonville, aside of that game, has been tremendous against running back. So I can't even say that.
Washington has allowed a league high 168.8 rushing yards per game over the past 4 weeks.
Okay. Only 2 top 10 fantasy weeks, though, on the season.
Just saying.
How crazy is it, though, that we went from, like, all season long, do not start Derrick Henry, do not start Derrick Henry, to he had one big game, and it's like, all right, maybe he's a flex play. And then one more game, and he's like, obviously start Derrick Henry. Like, there was no time to even have a conversation.
You're win or go home, right? So now, and you see that they've sort of flip-flopped the utilization. You think this is going to be a heavy run game to me?
Totally. Daniel, it just happens so fast.
Long season. Think about all the things we talked about in the first month that are no longer, right? You know,
that
no
we planted
true.
Our flag on.
Totally.
And Henry is a backup anymore. Most of the year. I mean, when he's playing 20 snaps and Lewis is playing 45, what are you going to do?
Sure.
You can't start that.
Part of it is what the Titans have come around too, right? Like, they probably concede. Yeah. Like, they are part of the reasons why, you know, he is probably a part of the reason why they've been better offensively. And they've contributed that by actually giving him that chance.
They put Derrick Henry in their fantasy teams, what they did. Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought that we're talking about, you know, it's Kyle Notes. You know, Jamal Williams struggled out of the gate this year. Now we're saying you got to play him, right? Like, that's just the reality of fantasy football in the NFL as a whole.
Volume.
Going into the season, like, listen, there was some positivity, plenty of positivity, started at Adam Thielen. But there was no way he could be any better than he was last year, right? I mean, other wide receivers surely had to be ahead of him. He wasn't a first-round pick. Definitely could not be a first-round pick. Second-round pick, nah, you're crazy. Third-round pick, like, maybe the back end of the third round. Adam Thielen, Pro Bowl bound again, over 100 catches. He has been an absolute monster, drafted behind the likes of Jordan Howard, Gronk, Shady McCoy, Larry Fitzgerald. Talk about a guy who has completely outperformed his ADP. He has been unbelievable this year. Adam Thielen against the Lions, his projection this week, Mike, 15.1 points.
Yeah, it's down a little bit from usual, but still a lot to like. I mean, there's still a lot of reason to want to fire up Thielen this week. Don't panic about last week. 10% target share in that game was his lowest of the season. He's been at least 23% in all but 2 games this season. So you like his usage in this matchup. By the way, they're playing Detroit. You might be a little afraid of Darius Slay. Don't be. Darius Slay has never shadowed a full-time or a guy that primarily lines up in the slot as Adam Thielen does. Even if he's on the outside a little bit more, he's not going to have to worry about too much Darius Slay. Stephon Diggs will. Adam Thielen will see a lot of Nevin Lawson. By the way, Adam Thielen had been a top 27 fantasy receiver every week prior to Sunday. Again, even if you're like, as we did, we bumped him down a few spots. Your championship's on the line. He's been tremendous for so long. He should be locked into lineups.
All right, a couple more here. Mike, Alshon Jeffrey was unbelievable last week for the Philadelphia Eagles, catching everything that Nick Foles threw his way, literally. He had 8 catches on 8 targets for 160 yards. Looked inspired. Looked great.
Yeah, 160 through the air. His previous high this season was 105, so don't expect that massive total every single week. But nonetheless, the usage has been better. 8-plus targets each of his past 2 games. From weeks 8 to 13, he was averaging 5.2 per game, so you'll like that point in the right direction. He has 4 touchdowns in 5 games with Nick Foles playing the full game last season, including the playoffs. That's good. And, you know, the Texans, as we mentioned, kind of boom-bust against receivers. 3 straight top 7 weeks allowed, but have held 7 receiver units, 20th or worse. So, again, you don't need to be too afraid of the matchup. They've been exposed at times.
All right, good stuff there. And finally, Gronk will bring it on home here. He's playing his hometown team, playing at his home stadium, of course, in New England. You've got him at 11.6 points.
Yeah, believe it or not, he is 0 for 7 catching end zone targets this season.
Crazy.
The only person worse with more end zone targets without a touchdown, Ryan Griffin at 0 for 8. So it's just, you would never think that with Gronk. Just crazy. But here's the good news. He's playing 99% of the snaps right now. He's a full-time player. That's good. And he is tight end 6 during his 11 active weeks this season, averaging almost 10 yards per target. The Bills, good against tight ends. 4th fewest fantasy points allowed. The last top 15 they allowed was actually back in week 7, but Gronk was targeted 8 times in that week 8 meeting. Only 43 yards, didn't score, but I mean, he's trending the right way. He seems healthier than he's been. He's playing every down. That's good. So there's reasons to fire him up with your season on the line.
At this point of the year, you've either made the decision on Gronk or you haven't, right?
And the thing is, there's so few tight ends. Like, if you've got him, you don't have a better option.
You either stuck with Gronk and you've been on the wave, or you cut bait and you traded them a while back, and you either traded them really early and you got a player like Eric Ebron that you've been able to utilize a lot, or you have probably found yourself no better off.
Just think about what you just said.
I know.
You know, that you got
you
a player.
Eric Ebron.
Eric Ebron for Gronkowski, and you were better off.
How about that? Although Ebron did have just 1 catch last week.
I know, but still.
Yeah,
trust me.
It's been tough to watch Gronk.
Terrible.
You know, maybe he finds a little bit of magic, a little bit of lightning in the bottle this Sunday and pays off in a major way. If you are still playing in the championship with Gronk, he still cracks our top 5 for tight end rankings. Great stuff, as always, from Mike there. And Mike and Stefania, of course, are back on Thursday, at which point we're going to be previewing. Actually, no, we won't be previewing anything.
No.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do any updates that we have from practice reports for major injuries you need to know.
Yes.
We're going to do a little bit of wide receiver cornerback matchup from the great Mike Clay.
Who's doing that?
I might have Ken Dobby come in to do that segment. I'm also thinking about maybe we do a way too early 2019 mock draft, where maybe we go through the first 2 rounds, see how things have changed after the year. Because let's be honest, you know what? I mean, there's a lot of players have changed places from where. Think about the list we just read: Gronk, Fitz, Shady. And those guys aren't going to be in the top 2 rounds anymore.
Drafts are going to be crazy next year.
The world is your oyster, Daniel. We are following your lead. So
I want
in the
Patrick
meantime,
Mahomes.
Check out Mina Kimes' podcast. It's going to be Matthews actually appearing on it. I think it's going to fold right into our iTunes feed. So if you subscribe, you'll see it right there.
Matthew committing podultry in broad daylight.
In the meantime, she is StefaniaB87 on Instagram and Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. It's the end of the year. I know some of you are saying, like, you know something, Field? I'm actually unfollowing you because I don't want to hear from you for the next 7 months. My championship is over. Follow us. We got a lot of great talent, a lot of great content. Well, talent's debatable, at least on my part. He's Mike Clay NFL on Twitter and Instagram.
And by
Tons
the way, this is not a, you know, you're doing your preparation in the off season. That's what we're doing.
Along. If nothing else, like,
we're bringing you that information.
That's true.
Come on.
True.
If nothing else, I'll tweet about dogs. I'm at Field Yates. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Media.